It's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Parental abduction of children happens everywhere in the world. Rates in the United States are particularly high. But when one partner abducts a child to a country with drastically different rules on family law, or a war-torn country, a nightmare can follow. Louise Monahan, an Irish woman, moved to Cyprus after the devastating death of her mother to live what she called the simple life. Then one night, after dinner with friends, she went to a club. There, she met a man.
My eyes met the eyes of this complete handsome stranger. He was very attractive, tall, had a commanding presence about him, kind face, kind eyes. And we got talking, and I was smitten from the first second. I felt he was what I needed. He made me feel safe. How ironic is that now when I think back at after everything that happened afterwards?
Monahan chronicles everything that happened afterwards in a new book called Stolen, Escape from Syria. It takes place at the height of the civil war raging there. Monahan's husband was named Mustafa Assad, and not long after they met, Monahan was pregnant. Despite realizing that he was both unfaithful and abusive, despite a dire warning about his stability from Mustafa's own brother, Monahan eventually married the father of her child, named May.
I was particularly, I know, very vulnerable and perhaps quite naive. And I perceived his control for affection and love. And I now know more about abusive relationships and abusers. And unfortunately, as a victim, you don't see it until it's too late.
Finally, after a litany of abuse, the two were divorced. Under Cypriot law, Mustafa Assad was given visitation rights 3 days a week with his daughter, but he wanted more. One day in the fall of 2011, when May was just 6 years old, he came to pick her up for a day at the beach.
It was a Wednesday, and he told me the previous evening that he was going to take our daughter to the beach. I packed her bag, but I have to say that morning I felt he was acting differently. He was uneasy, cagey, quiet. So I tried to call him at 1 o'clock that day, and his phone was off, and to my horror, I realised he'd taken our daughter and taken her to war-torn Syria.
So your ex-husband, who's Syrian, you reach him, and you had been to Syria with him before. This wasn't a place where you had never been. What happened after that? He tells you to come to Syria if you want to see her.
Yeah, he basically demanded that I join him in Syria and be a good Muslim wife. So my sister and I, we contacted Turkish men. And my family had befriended this family, this Turkish family. And one gentleman in particular, he was quite friendly with my aunt. And he assured us after a phone call that he would round up some Turkish men. So the initial plan was that for money, of course, they would go over the border and snatch May back and take her back to safety in Turkey until we reached her. But the Turkish men were becoming less enthusiastic about going over to get May. They said that it was becoming more dangerous. So I made the heartbreaking decision to leave my sister there and go over alone.
Let's talk about the help you received from so many, many Syrians. It is now civil war. You're there as a civilian. You're not a journalist. You're not an NGO worker. You're not accustomed to seeing the things that you're seeing in any way. But I want to talk about the people who helped you. You couldn't have made the journey without them.
No, I basically had to have my visa renewed. So Mustafa drove May and I in a car, his dad's car, to Idlib town centre and left us in the car. And in those 10 seconds, I grabbed my daughter's hand and ran. We jumped into a taxi and the man wouldn't drive off. And he said to May in Arabic, "Where's your dad?" And May said, without any prompting, "My father is dead." So he drove. And we remained on the seat of on the bottom of the floor of the car, and he drove us to a bus station, and he refused to drive any further because he said it was too dangerous. I jumped into a second taxi. The man had a kind face, and he readily agreed to drive us all the way across Syria, which was about 5 hours, to Damascus.
You call that particular driver your angel. The whole thing utterly falls apart. You're eventually asked by the Irish government to hide out in a convent. And one day, you bolt. Smugglers come back into the picture. Tell us about that.
We were picked up by a gentleman in a blacked-out Audi car. I went to the outside of Damascus and into a garage, and we changed over to a big 4x4 car, Jeep, with blacked out windows. There was a man in the back. I noticed that he was holding a machine gun of some sort, and he had a handgun in his top of his jeans. And we drove, and it got darker, and the terrain became very steep. And we got to the very top, and two men said to me and I, "Okay, you go now, bye." And I looked across, and I couldn't see anything but mountain tops and desert and hard terrain. And I was completely dumbstruck, and I remember saying, "Sorry," and he said, "Bye now, you walk."
So what happened then? You're literally climbing, walking, sliding.
Yes, we started walking. It was getting dark. Eventually, it seemed like hours, and it never ended. And eventually, we got to the mountain top, and one of the Syrian men, the one I always say with the beard, said to me, "There's Lebanon, you can see it, so keep going." And we slid down this big rock face, and we climbed back up this ridge, and there was a jeep there. And the Syrian man said, "Come here a moment, I want to show you something." And he showed me a Lebanese license plate, and he said, "You're here, you're Lebanon."
I just have to ask, tens and tens of thousands of people have died in Syria. Many people have had to escape. Do you think about all the refugees who've had to one way or another leave the country?
Absolutely. It's devastating. I can't tell you, it's a very surreal feeling. But when I was there with my daughter, you really do feel that you don't count, that you don't matter, that you're not a human person, you're not a human being. You're only a number. I think the Syrian people, I mean, if it wasn't for Syrians, I wouldn't be here now. And more importantly, my daughter wouldn't be here. These complete strangers literally put their lives at risk to help somebody only because they felt it was the correct and right thing to do.
What lesson do you take from this? Are you trying to help other people who have been the victims of international child abductions where two parents, one goes to one country and the child is missing?
Parental abduction is a huge problem on a worldwide basis, especially in the US. Unfortunately, with parental abduction, especially to Middle Eastern countries, there's no Hague Convention. The Hague Convention basically is a legal system that brings back children to their country of birth. And that doesn't exist. It's not a law in most Middle Eastern countries and in Syria in particular.
Louise Monahan still lives in Cyprus with her daughter May, who, she says, is adjusting nicely after the ordeal. Monahan's book is called Stolen: Escape from Syria.